Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the Bones Horror Podcast. This week we're speaking about the 2017 film Get Out. A young African-American visits his white girlfriend's parents for the weekend, where his simmering uneasiness about their reception of him eventually reaches a boiling point.
You got your toothbrush?
Check.
Do you have your deodorant?
Check.
Do you have your cozy clothes?
Got that.
What?
Do they know I'm black?
Should they?
You might wanna, you know.
Mom and Dad, my black boyfriend will be coming up this weekend. I just don't want you to be shocked that he's a black man.
I ain't never seen you like this before, bruh.
Meeting families, taking road trips. Don't come back all bougie, man.
Come back, get your damn pants up to your damn stomach.
Hello there. Are you there, so Steve? Coming
up from the city? I'm here.
And is Paul there?
I'm here.
And this week, we are speaking about Get Out. Now, this week's been an interesting week for me. First real week of working for a while. Did a bit last week. And today, I was actually... This might be a funny story. I'm not really sure. But I could send you lads a photo later. So, I've had to install... I'm an electrician, by the way. I had to install a smoke alarm head in a swimming pool. So this gets interesting. So it's quite a large swimming pool. It's run by a football coach. He has a house. He's got this lovely swimming pool, but he's moving and he's got to have some building rigs. Said you've got to have a smoke detector put in there. So anyway, so it's a full pool. I'm in my shorts. I've got a little set of steps I'm stood on, and I'm trying to put up this smoke head over the pool. So I've got a little gap of about 2 foot, just enough to get my ladder in. So I was getting a little bit worried. So there was a couple of kids there as well watching me, and they said, oh, you should put on... They didn't have any armbands, so they gave me this rainbow... So they gave me this rainbow unicorn, like, rubber ring. So I got into the rubber ring. I got into it. Yeah, just about fitted. And there is a picture of me installing some cable, stood over a big old swimming pool. So with a rubber ring on. So kind of that was my day, and it was fun. And I didn't fall in, but nearly did. Very nearly did. Because it's like 7 foot deep pool. And so I've had fun on this job. It's been good. So I've tested it all. And so it's been quite a good week. So
I'm not sure it's particularly worthwhile, though, because one thing that doesn't tend to catch fire is 7 foot deep swimming pools. That's very rare.
That's what I thought, but according to building control in England, you know, you've got to have these things in your houses. They had to have a smoke alarm in the swimming pool, which is it was nowhere really that could catch fire in there. Couldn't see it. It's very damp and wet and.
Obviously, I suppose you have to allow for the fact that some numpty might fill their swimming pool up with petrol.
Yes, but and if they did and lit it, it would.
Definitely set off the smoke alarm.
It would. And the thing is, you can't just put, like, a normal detector up. You have to actually wire it into the mains. So anyway, not going to bore our listeners too much with what I do, but like anyway... That was my day, and I'm now sat here with a nice bottle of Heineken, talking to my friends. So
those two words have never gone together before.
Well, the Heineken, it is actually very nice. I bought, these bottles I've got. They're 650 ml bottles, 5%, and I bought 12 for £14. Absolute bargain. So you could get battered for £14 on that.
True.
So anyway, so Steve, anything interesting this week? Are you just sat at home, chilling, having a few beers?
Well, there's been plenty of that. And we had a bit of a raucous evening where we had one or two too many beers and then felt like shit for 2 days.
Good.
I got away with one morning. Paul, it went on for 2 days, it seems like.
Oh, I'm still feeling fragile.
Did you go into work, Paul? Or did you just pull a sickie?
No, I worked. I wasn't very productive.
Oh, you worked
at home. I still worked.
Yeah, you work at home, don't you?
Yeah, well, we all do. Well,
yeah,
we both do.
So I can get away with it a little bit. You know, I got enough done to make it look like I was making an effort, but it was a struggle.
I was supposed to be moving offices on Thursday morning, and then luckily, given what happened, luckily it turned out the lifts weren't working in the building, and I said, well, sod that. I'm not carting all that damn bloody stairs.
Are you moving?
Yeah, well, the offices.
That's a done deal, is it?
Well, it's a done deal that we're moving out. It's not a done deal where we're moving to yet.
Where are they going then? They're just all working at home.
Well, I'm going to hear about this.
No, that's quite interesting because, they probably don't actually. I'm interested.
They want to hear about how his windows got shot out. That's
right. Let's get to this. So, the other night, obviously, you'd had a few beers. You probably, Paul's very loud as usual.
You was very loud,
And you've got your colours on, obviously, Paul. Right?
My colours?
Yeah. It's your gang colours.
Oh, right. I didn't know whether that was sort of a phrase I'd not heard
before.
What
colours are they? Rainbow. He's wearing a rainbow rubber ring. He's walking
to support the NHS.
Of course.
No, they just saw you and thought, what a dickhead, and shot my window. It's all your fault.
So actually what happened, Steve? Come on, let's get... What actually happened?
Well, I don't know what happened. I wasn't aware of it until he came round and said, oh, wearing his rubber ring. So what happened to your window? I was like, well, what has happened to my window? And it's like...
And why are you wearing a rubber ring?
Why are you wearing a rubber ring, you knobhead?
And he had two bullet holes.
Well, then, I don't suppose they're actually necessarily bullet holes. It looks like, to my untrained eye, that it could have been like an air rifle or something, but... It could have also just been somehow stones got through up on it, but, you know, I don't know how it happened, why it happened, or even when it happened. So, there you go. But there's two, like, impact points and a bit of a scuff in between, and when one of them's gone through one of the panes of the double glazing, then it does look a little bit like a small bullet hole.
Did you have a look on the ground outside to see whether any...
Well, no, it was dark at the time.
Any shells or...
Yeah, no. It was dark at the time, and I'd lost interest in the whole problem by the morning, so and had too much of a headache.
Might well still be out there. Yeah, it sounds like you had fun. I did speak to you both that night, actually.
You did, indeed, yeah.
Yeah. That was good. So, that's it then. So we can actually, we can get on and talk about this film. That I really like this film.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
But I'm not getting drawn into anything. Right, I'm putting it out there now. I'm not getting drawn into anything by Paul. This is what happened. So, let's get on with this film, Get Out. Now, this is a Blumhouse production. I love Blumhouse films. You know, I've just watched Invisible Man. That they make lots of decent films on a small budget. Well, I say small budget, but normally under 5 mil. But they make great films. I think Insidious might have been part of that as well. So it was directed by a guy called Jordan Peele. Now, he's quite a new director. I know he's directed us, and I think there's some other bits in the pipeline. Now, this is where I destroy actors' names, because we've got Daniel Kaluuya. Is it? Come on, Paul. What is it?
Daniel Kaluuya.
Kaluuya. Now, he plays an African-American, but he's English, really. We all know that.
Is he?
Yes. And he plays Chris. And then you've got Alison Williams playing Rose. They're the main characters in the film. I'm not going to go through everyone. So the budget for this film, $4.5 million. It grossed... $255.5 million, which is the same as the Blair Witch. It's Rotten Tomato score 98%, so it's a banger.
Yeah, stands to reason. I thought it was good.
There's a little bit about the film. Now we're going to get into this kind of new format I've been working on.
Yes.
Is it? There's a beginning, middle, and an end.
No, don't spoil it.
Oh, Stephen.
I might have a little jingle to go in here. So, So,
do you need us to be quiet for a second so we've got a slot?
You've fucked up now anyway, haven't you? So, like,
well, no, let's do it. Let's, how many seconds of silence should we do?
Okay. About half hour? That was a...
It's probably a better listen. You can put something else on while it's playing.
So we start.
Yeah, let's go for it.
With the beginning.
We can. Yeah.
I'm going to read my notes. Okay, this is what I've written down. Now, I know you guys love this film, so have some input in the beginning. So, photographer Chris is off to meet his bird's parents in upstairs in upstate New York.
He is?
Yeah.
So he's a bit anxious about it, isn't he?
He's a little bit anxious about it because...
She hasn't told him he's black. Well, that's the story anyway.
I'm not talking about...
That is the story. He was a little anxious about it.
I'm not talking about racial stuff. He's just... Okay.
Yeah, but... Okay.
Well, I'm not talking about it. Anyway, so...
So he wasn't anxious. It was just... he was well up for it. He's like, yeah, let's go.
Let's go!
Look, I'm not fucking talking about it.
So, yeah, he's a little bit anxious because he's a black man and he doesn't think that she's told the parents, and he's a little bit anxious about it. A bit like when I met my wife, because they were quite wealthy and I was as poor as a church mouse, you know, a bit like that.
And about 8 feet tall.
And 8 feet tall, and she is about the size of Frodo Baggins. So the parents are a hypnotherapist, which I think is someone who hypnotizes people. Am I right?
Hypnotherapist.
And the father, he's a neurosurgeon. Hope I've said that right. Which I presume is someone that kind of operates on the brain.
Yes. Yeah.
I think he might have been a neuroscientist as well as a surgeon.
So what is that? Is he does experiments on it, or is that?
Well, I guess he develops new techniques or solutions to problems with the brain. I guess it's more about an element of the science in there, hence why he developed a whole new program. I think he was a leader in his field.
Yeah. And also, wouldn't you say that Missy was a psychiatrist with the ability to hypnotize people?
Yeah, and also a psycho.
And that as well.
Yes. So I'm kind of at a point now where I just want to discuss a few little bits. So obviously on the way to the parents' house, so they pack all their stuff up and things. On the way to the
house. Is it fine for me to interrupt?
Yeah, you go ahead, mate, because like obviously I was going to get into that kind of accident.
Well, I was just going to ask what you thought about the very first opening scene when the young man gets kidnapped by the guy that is a Porsche he had, Stephen?
That was a white one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah, I know exactly. I know exactly what he's saying, because like, what was his name?
Jeremy. It was Jeremy in the car, but you don't know that at the start. No. But when he kidnapped him, wearing armour. Well, some Jeremy. Armour.
Ah. Yeah, I might have been... Is that right in the intro?
Yes. That's right in the intro, yeah.
Yeah, I was making a cup of tea at that point.
So he got a phone call. He didn't... He wasn't worried about getting picked up. I presume he was being tracked. Am I right?
I don't know, to be honest.
I think... I don't want to give... we're just going to give the whole film away right away.
We'll move on.
If I move on with that, I
skip that. Go back to where you were.
I didn't even see that bit. When we get to the middle, you know, this middle bit we discussed, we maybe can bring that in then about Jeremy.
Yeah, okay.
Slip that in the middle. So,
okay, we're going to slip the beginning in the middle.
Let me just write that down. Yes. Slip it in the middle. I might use that on my Tinder profile.
Grinder. Yeah. So, like,
grinder, grinder.
So, can we talk about the accident on the way?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Anything you noticed about that accident? There's a couple of things I noticed. Well, more than a couple of things, but like, there's two obvious things to me.
Well, it looked like someone threw a deer at them.
It would look like you've been fired out of a fucking cannon, didn't it?
I know, it was like about, it was about like 10 feet in the air.
I know. That could have happened, though.
Well, I just think, oh man, like, I would love to have a massive cannon that you could shoot animals out of.
I think they banned that, mate.
They've banned it?
Yeah, they used to it in the olden days.
Oh,
really?
It's political correctness gone mad, isn't it?
Well, they used to fire chimpanzees out of cannons, didn't they, in that?
Yeah, but they had a helmet.
They did have a helmet, yeah.
Are you saying that I'm allowed to fire animals out of cannons as long as I put a helmet on them?
No, I'm just saying, back in the day, with the chimps, they did have a helmet.
I think you can still do it, but not in the EU.
Thank God we're coming out.
Yes.
Bloody bureaucrats in Brussels.
Oh dear.
I think that's what swung the vote.
Well, it's there, isn't it? Oh, Boris Johnson's. No.
Boris Johnson's not like a fucking chimp in a helmet, isn't he?
He got that over the line with that.
Yeah. Didn't he run on the side of a bus?
Why should we have a right to fire animals out of a cannon anyway? We're British. £20 billion to the NHS a week. And we can fire monkeys out of a cannon.
Anyway, back to this deer, yeah?
Right, so the deer, there's a couple of things that stick in my mind. Like, one of the first, obviously they hit this deer in the car. They get out of the car. And Chris shows, you know, quite a bit of sorrow towards that deer.
Yeah.
And Rose is quite cold to it all, which was just a bit, because you think a woman, a bird, would like, oh, blood and guts and be, because my wife would be quite upset about it, to be honest, if we run a massive deer over.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't seem to show any emotion at all. So I had that. And then obviously they ring the police for some reason. I'm not kind of sure why, but the policeman asks for Chris's
ID. Yeah.
And she says no. Well, why? You know, and plays that kind of rape. You're only asking because of his race, which maybe was true, but I don't think she wanted any kind of paper trail.
That's a good point.
With him with the police, so. That's kind of why I think she
I don't want to spoil anything, but I did wonder with the deer as well if that was in some ways a reference to his mother, because he lost his mother by the side of the road, didn't he?
Absolutely. He could hear
she
it.
She was just left. Like, yeah.
He knew it was alive.
So is he Bambi?
He is Bambi. Oh, you've spoilt the ending. The end is Bambi. Yeah.
So his mum was a deer.
Well, yeah.
Killed at the side of the road. Yeah, well, it's close.
So yeah, I get the kind of.
He was just, that's how he used to talk about it. He said, "My mum, she was such a deer.
Mother deer," he would say.
Mother deer. Oh, mother deer. Are you all right?
Yeah. Yes, Bambi. So. So then they go off on their travels, and we're moving a bit. You know, we're moving along the beginning now at a nice pace. So they arrive at the house.
Oh.
And they're meant to be there. Are they there for the weekend? Are they for a bit longer than that? Why are they? I think it's a weekend visit, a few days,
isn't it?
Just like meet the parents, you know?
Yeah.
For the first time.
Yeah, so they're meeting the parents for the first time. There's the introduction. Obviously, oh no, it's. Have you got any? Sorry, that was my phone. Then how bad of me?
How unprofessional!
That's never happened in this week six.
So... Let's start again. We better start again.
Right back to the intro.
Hello and welcome to the Bonus Horror Podcast. So they get to the house and they're talking to the mum and dad, and the dad's being a bit
I'd say he's trying to be a bit hip.
He's being a bit hip.
You know, like my man and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, which is a bit odd, really. Did he do... Probably did fist bumps and stuff, did he?
No,
I don't think he did a fist bump.
What did he do then? Did he...
Well, it was normal.
He did. I think he did some break dancing.
Did some break dancing.
And then he did the worm.
So, <that's... laughs>
and then he said, word to your mama.
Yeah. So, anyway, there's a bit of... I think it's a little bit uncomfortable for Chris, really, the way he's talking.
False politeness. That's what was going on at the beginning of the film.
Yeah.
All of that talk and all those weirdos who turned up.
Yeah.
In the middle.
Don't jump to the middle, Stephen.
Well, we've done the beginning now.
No, we haven't. We're still on that because Kev will say, now the middle.
Yeah, that's true. I need to do now the middle.
Oh, Stephen. Fucking hell.
This is why I got kicked off the other podcast.
So, I'm really sorry about this, Kev.
I know. So let's just, they're having a bit of a chat and then let's talk about the hired help, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Does the tour of the house feature in the beginning bit or is that in the middle?
There is a bit of a tour of the house, isn't there?
There is a tour of the house where he points out a picture of his grandfather.
Yes.
Who was a bit of an athlete and had sort of Aryan tendencies and got caned by a black person in some race or some event.
It was
Jesse Owens in the 1936 Olympics, apparently.
There you go. And he loved that. He was down with that.
It wasn't Usain Bolt.
It wasn't Usain Bolt, no.
So, yeah, he comes second. And I think that really got to him.
Yeah, I think he lost in the qualifiers to him.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
That's not very good then. Didn't even get through.
No.
So there's talk about Missy. Not Missy, sorry. Let's talk about Walter and Georgina.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so Chris kind of sees them as quite odd balls, really. And they are quite odd, aren't they?
I was going to say, there's only one way to see them. They were odd.
Yeah, they were very odd. Walter is odd. Don't say a lot. Just...
false politeness.
Again, yeah. And Georgina, there's a lot of that.
Overly polite to the point that it makes absolutely no sense and is totally unbelievable. And Chris can read that very easily.
Yeah, I think Chris is quite clued up. Maybe.
Yeah, I quite like the guy. He was a good reader of people, and he was suspicious.
If
from
you
the
went
start.
To a house and someone was talking like that, would you think it was normal then?
Well, I suppose that is a fair point.
I lived
there
in Norfolk.
There are weirdos out there. I'd believe anything, quite frankly. But he knew.
Like me, believing the Blair Witch Project was real
until even during watching it.
I walked out of there going, wow.
Wow, that's fucked up.
So,
those poor kids.
There's the scene where Chris is unable to sleep and he's trying to give up smoking, but he wants to smoke. The lad wants to smoke, do you know what I mean? But his bird don't like it. So he goes out.
No, it's not because his bird doesn't like it.
That's because of his health.
They've got to keep him in prime fitness, haven't they? But I'm jumping ahead now. But yeah, it's not because of her. They don't want him smoking.
Yeah, so he goes outside. He has a bit of a fag, doesn't he? He's having a cigarette. What's his name? Walter. Walter is running about. Just being weird, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was quite weird, yeah.
He's running about, being a bit weird. So he has his fag, goes inside, and Missy's there.
Yeah, but Walter's running about because he's trying to beat Jesse Owens' time.
Mate, why would Walter be doing that, though? You're going to give it all away already.
Oh, sorry, yeah, I keep forgetting
the
format.
Jumping the gun again.
It's Jesus. Do you want us to dial back in later when you've done?
Well, just about. Let me just finish this last little bit and we're beaten, right, and then okay. I can do the intro to the middle.
So
anyway, he goes inside. Missy pressures him to having some, like, hypnotherapy session to cure his smoking.
She doesn't encourage him into it. She mind rapes him.
Yeah, she mind rapes him with the old teacup routine.
Yeah, it was a clever technique, I thought.
The old teacup routine with a spoon.
Very discreet.
So, yeah. So while in a trance, he expresses, you know, some guilt about his mother's death. Mm-hmm. There was obviously his mum, who was a deer, was hit. He was in a hit and run.
Yeah.
And he sinks into the void.
Yeah, the sunken into, place.
Yeah, he goes into himself, into a, like a black hole. But he, you know, and then he wakes up in bed.
And doesn't remember anything.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't remember nothing. And there you go. And for our listeners out there, we are now moving on to the middle. So, here we go. Let's talk about the wealthy people arriving. The rich people. They all get together. It's like a big party thing. Is it? Was it a barbecue or what was it? It was like it was a load of people arrived.
It was a party that their grandparents used to throw every year, and I presume it was something to do with whatever group they were part of. That
lots of all white people.
Yeah,
arriving in all black cars.
Yeah, all black cars. I'm not sure why. I'm not going into that, but. They all arrived in black cars. Anything you want to say about that, Paul?
Well, I think it's a reference to the black bodies that they will later inhabit.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I think we're in it now where we're just going to, spoiler alert, it's all coming out now.
It is all coming out, yeah.
So, should we talk about Jeremy first?
Yeah, he's a fuckwit. He's a complete idiot.
Is he, though?
Yes. Noxious little testicle.
Which one? Yes. He is very obnoxious. I'm just thinking about where he was at the party. Was it the night before?
He wasn't really there, was he? He was hardly there.
Yeah, it was the night.
No, you didn't see much of him, did you? It was the night before at the dinner table.
Yeah.
Where he revealed himself to be a hapless fuckwit, yes. And fundamentally unlikable.
I particularly disliked him.
I didn't like him from the start. I could read through that one.
He wasn't very nice. I didn't like him. So I'm not even going to talk about the prick.
No, don't talk about him.
So, who was the guy? I'm trying to touch it. Do you know the guy at the beginning of the film?
Oh, I want to say Rod, but is that right?
Yeah, Rod was cool.
Talking about the guy he phones.
Yes.
His mate, yeah. Rod. He was cool. I liked him.
Is it Andre? Is it Andre?
No, what? Andre was I believe, the jazz musician that was kidnapped. And I think it's Rod who he calls. He works for the TSA.
Yes, I like Rod. The TSA.
Yeah, Rod's cool.
I looked up what TSA was, and it's something.
It's airport security.
Yeah, like transport, like security.
Mhm. Yeah, it was set up after 9/11. TSA, if you're interested. Yeah.
They done well. So, if we move on to the guy at the beginning of the film, so we just touch upon that, okay? So, mm-hmm. And his name was fucking. This is a nightmare, right? There's so many people in it. Why can't we have movies with just three actors in?
We so, did like, the Blair Witch.
Yeah, that was yeah. Right.
That wasn't good enough for anyone.
Yeah, no, it did all right. It's picking up listeners. So, can we talk about Walter?
Yeah,
if you like.
Walter. So he was the guy at the beginning, yeah.
Which guy? The guy that worked for the TSA?
No.
No, that was the guy at the beginning. That was Andre. He got
that
kidnapped.
Was Andre. Yeah. Right. Yeah. This is where this podcast is known for its confusion, like mainly from me because I'm confused constantly. So yeah. So we got Lakeith Stanfield, right? I just looked that up on Wiki. Good, didn't I?
What?
He played Snoop Dogg in Straight Outta Compton.
What's they got to do with it?
Anyway, so he at the beginning of the film gets kidnapped. Obviously, something happens to him.
And this was played by Lisa Stanfield, you said?
Lisa Stanfield. No, not
Lisa. And she also played Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. There you go. The listeners know what I'm on about.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. So, what was his name again, Paul?
Lisa Stanfield.
Lakeith.
Oh, sorry.
Andre. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
His surname is something like Hayworth, wasn't it? Not that means anything.
Andre Hayworth.
It was something like that.
So he gets kidnapped. Something happens to him, and he's at the actual party meeting kind of thing. He's with some woman who's a lot older than him. So he very oddly dressed with a hat on. Yeah,
he was.
And why are they wearing hats?
So you can't see the scars on their head.
Exactly, and why have they got scars on their head?
Because they've had an operation to remove their fucking brains.
It's not
well,
all
most of their it. Brains.
It's not all of it. So they leave a bit of brain in there because they need to have a bit.
The bit that connects to the nervous system.
But basically, so another brain goes in there and operates the motor skills.
So this is what's happening. So we're just getting the spoilers now. Let's just do it. So they are kidnapping people, these people, and using their bodies as a vessel, I suppose.
Yeah.
Putting their brain, part of their brains or all their brains, in with them, and they control that person. They are that person. But the original person, you know, their body is kind of in the void or whatever you want to call it.
Well, they're body snatching, aren't they? So they're either going to be
got
an illness. Terminal illness or lost the sight was another example, and they're looking for a body, a vessel to transfer their brain into.
Yeah.
It's been done so many times before, but it described it pretty well.
It was just any illness, wasn't it? IBS, if you've got IBS, you could do it.
Yeah.
What other illnesses?
Any of them.
Hay fever.
Bowel cancer.
Bowel cancer is a good one.
Yeah. We don't have to identify every illness. We can move on. You can just get a new body, so you have your eyesight back. You're physically fit, even though you're about 90 years old. And
Jeremy wanted a new body because he wanted to be an MMA fighter.
Oh, is that why? I didn't pick that.
I don't know. He never.
He wanted to be a black person, didn't he? He wanted to be a. That's why he was feeding them up and like trying to strangle him and stuff. I think he wanted his body, and I don't think he was. Yeah, and he wasn't.
Yeah, but if he wanted one, why couldn't he just have one if his dad was doing the surgery?
I don't know if he could afford to pay for it.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty pricey, isn't it?
Yeah, but surely he'd get a freebie if it was his family.
Maybe. I don't know, but like. And there is a point where, what's his name?
What's whose name?
Andre, right?
Yeah.
There is a little point where they were going to have a photo. Was it a photo? Chris goes to take a photo. Okay.
Yeah.
The flash from the camera triggers something that actually brings the real Andre out.
Yes.
Yeah. And then he's the shouting, get out. Get out.
Yeah. Which is seen as aggression, but actually he was trying to warn him.
Definitely warning him, yeah. So, and then there's another part where they're having a little bidding session on Chris, basically, because Chris is obviously next on the list.
Weirdest fucking auction I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was a lot of bingo.
They were playing it like bingo, but I really couldn't understand why anyone couldn't talk. So he was like putting up the numbers with his hands of what to bid at.
So then, if Chris came back, they could disguise that they were playing bingo.
Have you ever seen people play bingo without saying anything? I mean, the caller at least.
Well, no,
could talk.
But then he would then talk, wouldn't he? They'd then start shouting out numbers, just pretend.
But why couldn't he do that anyway if they were supposed to be playing bingo? They said they were going to.
Yeah, but it's all just pretend, wasn't it? It's all just a cover. They just had all the bingo cards as a cover.
I don't. Well, they could have just texted each other, or just, I don't know. But anyway, it was an interesting scene.
Well, if Chris had to come back, he may have asked why there was a picture of him up in front of everybody.
No, they'd have quickly just shoved that over. You know, just a quick back heel to the stand.
Yeah. He splat face down into the ground. He's not going to ask any questions. He'd go, "Was that a picture?"
And then Chris
of me?
Would go, "What's that?" And they'd go, yeah. Nothing. Nothing. What's so, what? That picture? What picture?
Yeah, it's going to be awkward.
Did you notice them? A lot of people wearing red.
Not especially.
No.
Did you?
No.
Yeah, there's a scene where I think when they're Chris and Rose are sat next to each other, and there's a scene where he's wearing blue and she's wearing the red and white stripes.
Yeah.
Like the American flag.
Oh.
And this is an interesting one, and you're really going to like this.
So they were wearing the colours of the American flag?
Yes.
And what? Why?
Because of the great American white... I don't want to get into it. You know, I've said about this, but it's the... You know, it's about being, you know, American. And
it's about being American. What about being American?
Well, the big white kind of power thing they've got that they think was going on over there.
So he was wearing red and white.
She was.
Rose.
Right. And then someone else was wearing blue.
Chris.
He was. Dreary blue.
But I didn't notice at the time, but now he pointed out, yeah, they were. They were red, white and blue.
And the other thing is, she was
wearing... And they were stripes, but I didn't see any stars.
No stars, but it does look like a flag if you see a picture of it. If you actually rewatched it, you'll see what I mean.
Okay.
And she's also wearing her jumper is very similar to Freddy Krueger's.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. So no. There's my link to Freddy Krueger again.
There's no link.
There you
go. I'm glad we could bring that feature back.
The old stripey jumper feature we've all spoken about. You two failed miserably, but I've found the stripey jumpers. So.
But it had very thin stripes.
Is there paedophilia in this film?
No,
because it's not the right type of jumper. It's not the right type of jumper.
Stripey, mate. It's a jumper. It's made of...
No, but it had very thin stripes for red and very wide stripes for white.
Well, we're not going to get into how thick or thin the stripes are, mate. They're stripes.
Well, we are, because the whole point about Freddy's jumper is it was evenly... The stripes were evenly sized.
Were they, though?
They were. I measured them. And that is what makes a paedophile.
When you made his jumper.
Yeah. Supplied a lot of those.
So,
took ages to knit.
So he calls his friend. Obviously, he's getting a bit... Chris, am I jumping ahead? I don't know. So Chris calls his mate. The security guy.
Wherever.
So, and starts telling him that it's all getting a bit weird.
He does. And his mate concludes that they're mind-controlling black people.
Mind-fucking them.
Yeah, mind-raping them to use them as sex slaves.
Which they kind of were, I think, weren't they?
Not as such.
No.
No,
they were using their bodies I would suggest that the woman who had the boyfriend who was the Andre guy, who was about half her age, she was a fat, ugly white woman, and he was a fit black guy. And it's not my opinion, but observation.
Nice. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed.
No, I mean,
just let it go, Steve. If you fancied him, let it go, mate. If you thought he had a nice buttocks.
He was a strapping young chap, wasn't he? And she was a fat old bint.
Yeah.
And you think, how did that happen? He must have been brainwashed. Well, no. What actually happened, I would suggest, was her husband was mortally... Is that a phrase? Mortally ill?
Yes. He's something wrong and his brain was put in his body, wasn't he? Yeah.
Exactly. That was her husband.
I like how you're thinking.
That was her husband.
You're now thinking like a psychotic neurosurgeon.
Yes. My secret's out.
So
that's what began to unfold, isn't it? That these people weren't so much brainwashed. They were almost sort of in certain circumstances trying to disguise the fact that they were somebody else in a body that didn't belong to them.
So at what point did Chris seal the pictures of...
When they were leaving.
Yeah, they were trying to leave.
They realised they had a bit of a bust-up. He wanted to go, and then they kind of reconciled everything. She's like, yeah, this sucks, let's go. And that was quite good acting, given what she had planned. And then he discovered the pictures of her with lots of different people, almost like previous boyfriends, that she'd obviously been seducing so that they could steal their bodies and use for old, decrepit people.
Yeah.
That's what was going on.
That is exactly it.
And it took a while to get to that point, so the movie builds up to it quite well, I think. Yeah. I didn't...
That's a great movie.
Instantly, but as it unfolded, I thought, oh, wow, that's a bit of a mindfuck, literally.
Yeah. This is Paul's choice, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
I did enjoy it.
So, I mean, there's more luck than judgment.
Agreed.
You enjoyed it then. Oh, we'll get to that at the end anyway. But I think it's time for us to move on to the final stage. There's something that I like to call the end. So we can move on to that now. Are you happy with that?
Yeah. Yes.
So we're going to move on to the last act where it all goes pretty mad, really. So I'm just going off the top of my head now. Okay, I've run out of notes.
Freestyling.
So there, when does she, there comes a point, he goes to leave, doesn't he? And at some point...
Well, she's pissing around with, I can't find the keys. He really wants the keys. He knows there's trouble coming, doesn't he? Yeah. And the family almost surrounded him. And she's rustling her bag, oh, I can't find the keys. Then suddenly goes, you know I can't give you these keys that she's got had in their bag the whole time. These are the keys to the car, so they can escape in case anyone doesn't have a goddamn clue what we're talking about, which is perfectly normal. And at that, from that point on, I can't remember exactly what happens, but he ends up in that.
She taps the teacup again.
The teacup, that's right. And he goes down. He just sort of passes out flat on the floor from the teacup tap. Yes.
And then he wakes up tied to a chair is he chained to the chair or?
No, strapped.
Strapped, isn't he?
Strapped to the chair. Yeah. I'd love to know why the TV in front of him was about 60 years old.
I think it looks more eerie.
I think there's also, let me just jump to the very beginning of the film quickly. There's a couple of bits like The Shining. Now, the beginning of the film is in a kind of blue colour where it says Get Out, which is exactly like the same graphics as what The Shining had. And there's certain scenes and the symmetry and things, like at the end where everything's symmetrical, where he's sat there. And like the TV is a kind of the same telly that was in The Shining. So I think it's because Jordan Peele, the director, really loved those films. So there's a bit of a... You know,
homage.
Homage.
What's the room in The Shining?
What's the what? The room number?
The room number.
Oh, 337.
Is it 327?
Oh, 27, maybe.
I can't remember. I did actually mention that in another podcast.
Yeah, that was for the triangle. The only reason I ask is because I think the flight they call over the Tannoy is 327.
You're right. Yes.
Oh, God, you're an Easter egg hunter, aren't you?
Easter egg.
What I like now is that...
I mean, and this is getting really good. I think we've nailed this week. We're like three horror movie detectives.
Breaking it
People
down.
People are going to fucking be like, these guys are amazing.
There is one contentious issue there, which is this a horror film?
Oh, don't ruin it, Stephen. I don't think it is.
It's not. I'm not knocking it for it.
We'll get to that.
It's technically not.
He wakes up.
He won awards. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, yeah, carry on.
You carry on, Paul, while I just crack another beer.
No, I was going to say it won a, I'm sure it won awards for horror, but let's just say it's a horror.
All right, up to you. It's not true, but let's say it's a horror.
Well, it's a Blumhouse film, and they make horror, so it's like... So it's going to have to be a horror. So, I'm not jumping too much. He wakes up in his chair, and he starts... He's always scratching, isn't he, as well? Starts scratching away at the chair.
He was scratching in his flashback, wasn't he, when he was waiting for his mum, scratching the bedposts.
Yes.
Mm. It's an anxiety reaction.
Something I read, like, I didn't put two and two together, really, but there's a bit where he's scratching away at it, and the cotton comes out of the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a direct reference to cotton picking.
You've really done your research this week.
And that's what he puts in his ears, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Well, let's explain why he did that, because basically the stuff on the TV kept coming on, and when they felt like putting him under again to help brainwash him, she'd tap the teacup. There was footage of her on the TV of tapping the teacup, and he'd just go out again. And in order to fight that, he made earbuds. Buds? Earplugs, effectively. Oh, plugs. Yeah. Out of the stuffing in the chair that he'd managed to scratch out, which was a clever idea.
This Chris is great.
He's got his head screwed on. Yeah. Well, for now.
What I like as well is they actually got a chair into the film.
They did. Yeah. Maybe that's why this one was better.
Yeah, I think that the ratings will go up because you have to have decent furniture. But they got a chair in there. Pleased with that.
Well, so, and there was a TV as well, like the massive stack of old TVs.
TVs. So there's a lot of...
It paid a lot of respect to Ravenous.
Yeah, so it's good for Ravenous.
No, don't mention that film. That'll put our listing ratings back down again.
Nah, that's doing all right. It's picking up, Ravenous. People were listening to it. So he escapes it. How does he escape it? Can anyone remember? Because I can't.
He's unstrapped.
And he pretends to be under and then smacks him over the head with an orange or lemon.
With the bowling, sure bowling ball?
Oh, that's, what's his
that
name?
Was the smallest bowling ball I've ever
Jeremy,
seen.
Jeremy.
Aren't they the balls that you play bowls with?
Yeah, something like that. Or...
But no.
Yes.
It was yellow.
It's not fucking orange.
So he beat
yellow.
Him over the head.
That's a good point.
He beat him over the head with a Satsuma.
It was a lemon.
Yeah, so he hits... It was Jeremy. We don't like Jeremy, so he smashes his brains in.
Yeah, good move.
And then the one with the deer head, he smashes...
Dean, isn't it? Is the father Dean?
Yeah, Dean.
Yeah.
So he sticks that right through his neck.
Yeah.
Great kill scene. Love that. That's a 10 out of 10 kill scene.
That's pretty surreal, though, isn't it? The murder weapon was a deer head.
Yes.
That's Black unusual.
Buck. Black buck, wasn't it?
Oh, here we go.
Reference to his mum, wasn't it, I think? Again.
No, they used to call them black bucks. Anyway, I won't get into it. So, like, move on. So, he's pretty much trying to escape now. You're going to have to help me out here, guys. So he's trying to escape.
Goes upstairs, sees Georgina in the kitchen. She does a runner, walks into the other room, Missy's in there, and then there's a showdown for the teacup, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right.
And who wins that showdown?
Chris wins it, smacks it onto the floor.
She was aiming to put him under again by getting to the teacup first. But he spots it and, like,
he fucking scuppered her plans.
Is he screwed, though, for life, that he could no longer listen to anyone stirring tea?
Well, I suppose he could go to another hypnotherapist, one who wasn't a complete psycho. They could probably reverse that if they were
I think that's the sequel.
Although it might be the case that this experience might have a little bit put him off hypnotherapists.
Or tea.
that might be more traumatic than living with the teacup syndrome. But it went weird, wouldn't it? If you're just out at a restaurant, someone taps the teacup and you just pass out in your soup. It adds complications to life.
I suppose you could warn your friends.
If I pass out my soup, yeah. Just go and smack the person with the teacup. It's their fault.
So how does Chris kill Missy?
Well, with the knife that she jams through his hand.
Oh, yeah. That's quite brutal at the end of this. So then he drives away with Georgina, is that right?
Well, he drives away and then he hits Georgina.
Oh, yeah.
And then he picks her up to put her in the car because he can't leave her. Because he'll hit and run on his mum.
Exactly.
But who is Georgina? We haven't told the listeners that.
No, she's really the grandma, Nanny Armitage.
She's Rosie's Dean's grandma.
Dean's wife.
No.
Is that right?
No, Dean's mother.
Mother, yeah.
Dean's mum's, yeah.
And to clear it up, then finally, Walter is the grandfather of Rosie as well. Yeah. Is she Rosie or Rose? Yeah. I can't remember.
Rose, I believe. Rose. Could be short for Rosie, though. It's never confirmed.
Fair enough. But they're the grandparents of Rose's parents. Not actually the weirdos they appear to be, just people who've inhabited another body and trying to hide the fact to a degree. That's why they're so weird.
Yeah. So there's a bit of a struggle in the car, and he kills her. Is that right?
They crash into a lamppost, don't they? Or some kind of or telegraph pole or something, I don't know. But they crash, she dies. Wig comes off, scar round her head.
Yes. She's had the surgery. So of Rose... course.
She then turns up with a shotgun. Or a rifle,
I think, wasn't it? Yeah.
And...
He uses his camera again, doesn't he? He uses his camera...
on Walter, Chris. Yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of brings...
There's obviously Walter. Something about the Flash again that zaps him out of... Or the original mind, what little there is left of it, kind of takes over for a bit. It sort of suppresses the new mind. And he then decided the best thing to do would be to shoot... Well, I suppose what in a sense would have been... the possessor's granddaughter, and then to prevent any further mayhem, blew his own head off.
There you go, and then...
The end.
The end, that is the end.
Chris, it's not the end, is it?
No, he begins to strangle Rose, doesn't he? But then he stops, and his mate Rod, the old TSA car, because we actually think it's the police turning up and thinking, oh, shit, Chris is getting well stitched for this.
It did look that way.
He didn't. And he leaves Rose on the road, and that is the end.
And why did he? And that's how he's broken that stigma, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because he was able to leave her to die on the roadside.
And that was a great film.
Yeah, it was.
Really good film. So we've talked bollocks for quite a while. That's a good one tonight.
So let's
get to the rating. So
let's fucking rate it.
I'll tell you what. Do you know I'm going to mix this up this week, Paul?
Yeah.
I'm going to let you rate it first. I know that may be controversial to our listeners. Thinking, oh, it's normally Kev, but tonight it's going to be Paul. So what do you reckon, Paul?
Well, I'll be honest. I was going to rate it lower than this, but I've enjoyed talking about it again so much. I'm going to rate this film a 7.5. And don't bring up the Ravenous. If I could go back in time, I would rate that low, all right? But we just have to get past that. Let's just forget we ever talked about Ravenous.
Or ever watched it.
7.5. Oh, nice. You don't like 0.5s, do you?
Well,
I'll give it an 8. Let's give it an 8.
I never see the need for a semi, mate. You're either there or you're not.
Well, true.
So you're giving it an 8, yeah?
Let's give it an 8, okay? If we can't do halves.
Steve.
Well, I think it deserves a bit of applause because, you know, straight after work on a Friday night.
Yeah.
All right, don't drag it out. It's not the X.
Have you only just watched it?
Yeah, I've only just watched it tonight, just before this.
That's
a little bit hard work because you're not always, when you do something like that last minute, I've just been really busy with work and stuff. I hadn't had the opportunity. But credit.
I feel like you're now going to go, I'll give you your score after the ads.
Can you just stop interrupting my bit? This is my
bit. The advert.
Listen, I think for holding my attention throughout an hour and 40 minutes under the circumstances and keeping me interested and the fact I did actually quite enjoy it and thought it was quite cleverly done, it deserves a bit of merit. So I'm going to say the same, actually. I'm going to give it 8.
Yes! Oh, nice.
Yes. So I give it a 1. Have you 5!
I watched
this on my anniversary with my lovely wife on Saturday. I talked to her and I said, it's not a horror film. It's not a horror film, love. Don't worry. It's a thriller. And we watched it together, which is a first for a long, long time. Because we obviously...
And what did she rate it?
She liked it, but then... I think she would have about 7 or 8, really. I don't think she watched it totally, though. I think she was talking about it on her phone. But, like, for me, I own it. I really like it. I'd give it an 8.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets an 8?
It's an actual 8.
Yeah, but listen, it could have got a 9.
If there were some chairs.
If there were some tits in it, that would have got a 9.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about tits. Wardrobes, chairs and tits.
But you only give one point for tits, not one for each tit. Is that your rule?
No, but I probably would have gave it a 7, but there was the chair in it. I love this film. It's great. I think I analysed it a bit more than I ever had before.
You did, indeed. You've done well this week.
So, yeah, it's been a lot. I've got a headache now. But there's been a lot of analysing. So this film, we, the Bones Horror Podcast, give it an 8, which is the highest ever, because every other movie we've done has been a 5 overall. So you need to go out there and watch it.
I think you should. This is new territory. We can all recommend this film.
Yeah.
And it's not in fucking French.
It's not in French. There's no weird chairs in it. There's no people wandering around in a wood. Wardrobes.
Be honest,
like that.
If this film had had a stack of chairs in it, I think it'd still been fine. Because, you know what I mean? There'd have been some kind of meaning somewhere.
That's probably true. I think this film was quite well thought out in how it developed and the characters and the plot and the characters developed over time quite well, is what I'm trying to say. That was very badly put originally. But it's nicely done. It's slick.
If you get the chance, watch Us, because it's very good as well. Similar.
Same director.
Yeah, it was trying to... Wow. Anyway, so let's move on.
To our other feature, what Kevin watched this week.
What did Kev watch this week?
What have you been watching?
No, seriously, what have you been watching?
So, I've had so much fun this week in the evenings. It's been great. I've got something working again. So, I watched 3 films. Okay. With the first one I watched a film called Underwater.
Which is
like Aliens, but underwater.
Kirsten Stewart in it? Is that the name?
Yeah, with very little hair. It's a great film. I recommend it.
What's the message?
Isn't there already a film that's a bit like Aliens Underwater by the same director that did Aliens, isn't it? The Abyss.
Yes. Yeah, The Abyss. This film's basically about... they're working on, like, deep under the sea, and it's like a drilling kind of where they're drilling for whatever they oil, whatever they're drilling for. So it's quite technical, and it's like it's near enough like little cities under there, and people are drilling. And there's an accident, and they have to escape and shut down one of the kind of buildings and move into
what
another.
What sort of accident?
Without giving too much away, it's just everything just starts falling to bits. And but anyway, it's you know something caused it. That's under the water. So it's very claustrophobic film. Set underwater, and they have to you know escape from there and go to other you know buildings underwater. If that's the right word. And it's good. It's pretty good. And it's got Kristen Stewart in it. So, well worth a watch. I don't, you know, I looked, it got about 6 out of 10 on, or 48% Rotten Tomatoes. But I found it fun. Just a bit of fun. You know. So I watched that. Good. I'd recommend watching it. Well. Now, the next one I watched was absolutely amazing. It's a film called The Wretched. It's quite. I think I spoke to you guys about it the other night, and when you were pissed out your head. So like, this one's a bit of a story about a teenage boy. His parents are getting divorced, and there's basically a witch in it.
Another witch.
Yeah, and she possesses kind of people. And what she does. I don't want to give it away too much. This is the thing. I'm just giving the whole thing away all the time.
Oh, don't worry about that.
She'd take you. So I had a son, right? She'd take my son.
You have
son.
Got one.
Yeah, I've got three
got
of them.
Several.
You forgot. Yeah,
loads of them. So she'd take one of them, and then somehow she makes you forget you ever had him.
Oh.
Yeah. And
to
then
what
she
end?
No one knows because she takes that child away and she does whatever she does with him, takes it down into this kind of. She lives inside a tree, so she gets him inside the tree.
Is it the faraway tree?
Yeah, a bit like that, but it's underground.
Okay.
So instead of on top.
A bit different.
Yeah. But she does it with lots, so that all these children kind of go missing, but no one really knows they're ever missing because. She's just kind of parents forget they were ever there. So it's a really interesting idea, really good film. And people are going mad over it at the moment. I love it. It's got 74% Rotten Tomatoes. So, but well worth it. Maybe we'll do it one day.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a low budget. So then it was good. And then my favourite. I watched a film called I See You, which starred Helen Hunt. You know who she is?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she's kind of looks very, very different at the moment. She's had a lot of surgery. So, yeah, if you look her up now, she looks very different. So, again, another film, 75% Rotten Tomatoes. This one, I definitely don't want to give too much away because it has such a... the word there's a bit of a twist in it, so without me saying too much I can't really give it away, but well worth a watch. Bit of a thriller, bit of a people in your house kind of that you don't know are there kind of thriller. And the other one I've just watched a bit more Trailer Park Boys, so I'm kind of done with the American tour. Watched that, great, very funny. And what's his name in it? The backward man. What's his name?
What?
You know, Tom Green, is it? He was in it.
Oh, God, yeah,
the backward man. Mummy, Daddy, do you want some sausage?
Do you want some sausage? Yeah.
Yeah, so he was in it. It's very good. Well worth a watch. And that is pretty much what I watched this week. And I've got lots more. I've got a list of about 24 films that I'm working through.
Well, I even watched something this week.
Right.
And I'm not sure I've got a huge amount to say about this, but I did watch, for the first time in a long while, Resident Evil, the original.
We went to the cinema to see that. Do you remember?
We did. It was a bit of nostalgia. That might have been where you threw nachos all over your
face. No, that was somehow. That might have, no, I don't know what that was, but it definitely wasn't that one. We went to the cinema a lot of times. A lot of times
we did, and yeah, we did see that at cinema. And actually, it's all bullshit. A bit kind of take your brain out, and just, but it's got a little something. I still quite like it actually. I also watched, in a very different vein, The Inbetweeners 1 and 2 off all four. They happened to be on there to watch on there. I don't think they're on any other streaming services, but as they were there, I ploughed through those. Got a few laughs. It's pretty gross in places, but all good. But my favourite thing,
yeah,
is I rediscovered Dennis Pennis.
He is so good. I
haven't got anything of his. I just remember it from the dim and distant past as a youngster. Lots of clips on YouTube, exactly. But I've not heard or seen any of that stuff in a long while. And I've forgotten how funny it is. It's good stuff. Then introduced me to his other character, Mr. What was it, Clutter?
Not the solicitor. Mike Strutter.
Yeah, Strutter.
Oh, mate. He's amazing. Yeah.
Yep. So all of that, that's a bit of a highlight for this week for me. They were hilarious.
So violent, isn't he?
He's violent.
Yeah, he's out of his mind.
That's great. I've got a video somewhere.
Love it. Play your cocksuckers right.
Yeah, I watched that. That was great. And again, it reminds me of Paul.
So for our American listeners, you want to have a listen to him.
I don't know, the guy behind those characters, his name I can't remember, Dennis Pennis and whatever it was, I've forgotten already.
Is it Paul Clutter? Something?
Strutter.
I don't know. Paul, the guy plays him, Paul...
It's Paul Clark.
Paul K or something?
Yes, Paul K.
That's close enough. It just reminds me of Paul. That's Paul's sense of humour in a different body. Have you body snatched him? Is that what's happened?
He's in Game of Thrones a lot.
I've never seen that.
So for American, he played Foros of Myr.
Oh yeah, old Foros.
So he was really good in that. So you know the Americans will be loving that. So watch Dennis Pennis. Yeah. When he gives Barry Manilow was he giving him a napkin? No, a tissue for his nose, and it's like a parachute.
It's punk journalism is what it is though, isn't it?
I like the Strutter fat fucker diet thing. He just has a smoothie and then fucks. He fights then he fucks, doesn't he? Smoothie fight then smoothie then fuck.
So have you watched anything this week, Paul?
Other than clips of Mike Strutter, no, I have not. I've let the team down. I didn't because I didn't think Stephen would. But
well, to be fair, at least some of what I've watched and was so fond of was stuff you sent me this afternoon, having watched it yourself.
Yeah.
So,
but that was my enjoyment was all good. For the week, catching up on some old Mike Strutter episodes on YouTube.
Good, good. I own one of the videos of his and it's brilliant. Superb. Not that I can play it anymore.
Why not? Because you haven't got a video recorder anymore.
No, I haven't. I haven't got one.
It's a bit of a problem these days, isn't it?
Yeah. So I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe you can get it on DVD. Maybe. Sure.
Maybe.
So, that's great. So we're going to end this now. There's a couple of little bits I need to say. So, listeners, it was good last week. We had a new listener from Jamaica. I'm not coming up, but I don't know what his name is. Great. Welcome to the show. We've got, if you want to follow us, we're on Twitter, Bones Horror Pod, and on Facebook on the Bones Horror Podcast. Please say hello. You know, get involved. That's all we ask, get involved. Next week, it's my choice, and we are going to do one of my favourite characters. So we're going to do It. So Pennywise has always been something I've loved. You know, I've read it. I read it when I was 11, the book It. I've watched them numerous occasions, so I don't think you've seen it, have you guys?
I've seen both of the new ones.
Yeah.
Well, and the original, actually.
Steve?
What's it? I don't know.
It's got a clown in, right?
Yeah, I think I have seen it. It's a Stephen King novel.
Yeah. There was a kind of like 4 hours or 3 hours made quite a few years ago, more like a TV recorded.
Was that so? Film. Who played the clown in that? I want to say someone like his name was Tim Robbins or something.
Yeah,
weird like that,
but... Tim Robbins or.
I probably got that wrong, but
it sounds about right. Robbins. Or... Anyway, yeah. So this is like the remake of about 3 or 4 years ago. 3 years ago. So I'd like to watch that if you're up for it. And I love watching it. I can watch it over and over again. So that's what we're going to do next.
Tim Curry.
Yeah, that's a little bit different to Tim Robbins, but yeah, it definitely was Tim Curry. Who's Tim Robbins?
I don't know where I got that name from, but it's wrong.
Tim Curry.
Tim Curry. He's can't remember the character's name though. He's in Rocky Horror Show. He's transvestite, isn't he?
Ah,
that's Tim Curry.
Yeah. So we're moving along now to the end of the show. It's been a pleasure, and we will see you next week with it. See ya.
See ya.
Ladies.